Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Blog Talk Radio Show. You
Blog
are live
Talk
on the air this morning. It's a beautiful morning in
South We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. On blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Good morning, and welcome to the International Mastermind Blog Talk Radio Show. My name is Ann McNeil, and I am joined today on the show by Stephanie Ebanks and Mariama Williams. We are the Palm Beach Life Planners Mastermind Group, and today we have a very special treat for you today. We are actually hosting one of our very own as we talk about Chapter 2, the Chapter of Faith, in the book Think and Grow Rich. Chapter 2 on the book of faith starts by talking about the faith as the head chemist of the mind. When faith is blended with the vibration of thought, the subconscious mind is instantly picking up the vibration that's translated into its spiritual equivalent and transmits it to infinite intelligence. And that is exactly what we are all experiencing when we have a desire within our heart and we use the faith that mixed with that desire, and all of a sudden, by a magnet, any and everything that we want is drawn to us if we are willing to just persist and pursue that which our hearts desire. Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, Mariama. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Anne. I'm fine, thank you. Thank you so much for this bright and lovely South Florida Saturday morning, and glad to be on the show.
Thank you, Mariama and Stephanie.
I think Stephanie's still trying to get on.
Oh, okay. All right, what I'd like to do is I'd like to start by sharing with our listening audience, Mariama, a little bit about Mariama Williams, I should say, Dr. Mariama Williams. And Mariama is a certified Vedic, how do you pronounce that, Vedic master?
Vedic master, yes.
Thank you, Vedic master with Chopra Center for Well-Being and Chopra Well Center University. And Mariama has a number of different certifications and just a spirit in and of itself as it relates to the space of spiritual healing and yoga. She's also a yoga instructor, and she is a certified Bikram Yoga College, from the Bikram Yoga College of India instructor. And over the last 10 years, she has traveled to China, India, Europe, and the Caribbean, teaching and experiencing meditation and yoga for the mind, body, and spirit. Mariama, can you share with us what started you on this focus when you look at how do you take your faith based on what Napoleon has described and how you take that and mixing it with yoga?
Okay. Well, I've been very, very interested in mind-body healing, learning how to listen to the body, how to trust the body, because I think the body speaks to us. Sometimes it speaks in whispers, and we don't listen, and it speaks, and then sometimes it shouts loudly, which is when we have the outright explicit pain and causing us to go to the doctors. But I think sometimes before that, it's been speaking a long time. So I've developed a real trust in the intrinsic healing power of the body and the mind and the spirit, because I think we live in many different domains. It's not just about the body, mind, spirit, soul. And so even in college, I always used to go to do meditation and yoga. I found it helped me to settle down and to concentrate and to feel a lot better. And I've been reading, as you know, I'm part of this mastermind, so we've been reading, I think, maybe for my third or fifth time, the Think and Grow Rich with Napoleon Hill's. And I've been reading again this morning the chapter on faith. And then I kind of said, okay, you know, I've played around with this faith, but I never actually looked at what faith means. So I went to look at the dictionary, and it says faith is confidence or trust in a person, thing, or a deity. But it's also belief that is not based on proof, as well as confidence based on some degree of proof. And so the word faith, we usually talk about hope, trust, or belief. But faith is conscious knowledge and the practice of good deeds. That's the thing that I came away with, the conviction in something and a determination to accomplish one's goal, and also joy. So I found that when I am feeling good physically, mentally, I am in a really great space, a space where I can enjoy what's around me and I can enjoy what's in me. So I've been on this journey of sharing and learning how to quiet the mind so I could better listen to my body, and how to work with all of those gifts that want to be better able to find the other intrinsic gifts that God has given me. And I find that yoga also has been very healing for me. I went through a period where I was traveling a lot, sitting a lot, not being very physically active, and started to develop in back pain and sciatica. And I found that when I did the yoga and the yoga stretches, it really helped to reshape my body and help all of that to come together. So I've developed a really good synchronicity with yoga and following all the different aspects of it.
Now what you've just done, Maryam, is you've just opened the door into how to develop faith, and it may be different for each and every one of us. And what Napoleon Hill says in terms of how do you develop faith, he said this, that in the book, he says that, there comes now a statement which will give a better understanding of the importance of the principle of autosuggestion. And he goes on to say that faith is a state of mind which may be induced or created by affirmations or repeated instructions to the subconscious mind through the principles of autosuggestion. And that as an illustration, he suggested, if one main purpose for which we are reading this book, that if you think about the fact that desire, that naturally to acquire the ability to transmute the intangible thought impulse of desire into a physical counterpart, let's say money, by following the instructions that he's giving us, that if you are just able to convince your subconscious mind that you believe, then you can receive that which you ask for. And when you just describe how you're able to take the exercises of yoga and mix it with your faith, you're able to calm your spirit and calm your mind and your body to actually attract what you want. Can you share with us any additional thoughts on that? How you develop faith?
Yeah, I think we all have a great capacity for belief, and we have I know for sure when I read Napoleon Hill and all the other books about self-improvement that have been derived from that one great contribution that he has made. Of course, he's made many, but it's been a seminal contribution for learning how to develop yourself and how to attract wealth. But I think fundamentally it's how you develop yourself as a human being to bring out the potentialities that God has given you. And those potentialities may be about acquiring material wealth, but fundamentally it's about controlling how to assert yourself, your own will over yourself. And if you don't, if you're not able to assert your own will over yourself, then you're not going to be able to make all the great achievements that are here for you and that are waiting for you to open back the curtain and to walk and to step through. And I think we have the possibility to completely control our mind, to take full possession of our mind, and to make that demand, as he said, not to beg, but to make the demand of the universe, because it's there to serve us, and it wants to serve us. But many times we block ourselves because of all of the doubt, anxiety, the fear, the various fears that we have. And for me, one of the big fears that I had in my life was I spent most of my life reading books. I'm not a physical person, even still now. My natural tendency is to sit down with a book. So yoga, when I started doing yoga, I had no idea I wasn't going to run. I tried that, didn't like it. And yoga forced me to confront my body in a way to see my body. And I found that the struggles I was having, trying to balance, trying to be flexible, everything that I was having on the yoga mat was not about yoga. I was having those same struggles in other parts of my life. So I was learning about me as I was learning to trust and develop my body so that as I saw my body respond to repeat, and again, repeated attempts, you fail, you pick up, you do again, and you do again, I got to trust the body and realize that the power that I have within me that I didn't really fully accept. And I find that that is part of what the Think and Grow Rich is about, is really learning and when you read of the different failures and different circumstances that didn't work for Nathaniel Hill, all the people he interviewed, but they were able to pick themselves up, and they went on, not just blindly, but with intelligence, with the conviction of mind based on the evidence that they knew it could occur, because it occurs around them. People get rich around them from poverty, from dire circumstances. So we have all these evidence. We see how the birds fly. We see how all of these creatures in nature survive. And they don't get up every day and say, I wonder what God has out for me. They go out and they are beautiful. They show their divinity. They sing with joy. And so that's how we are supposed to be. We are perfect within ourselves in all of our imperfection. And when we learn to submit to the will of God, which includes the beliefs, the profession, the performance of the body, all of the deeds that we do consistently, then we are able to reap those fruits.
Thank you.
So we make a
Thank
choice.
You.
We make a choice every day to change the future or to stay as we are. And it's minute changes. It's not always that it's going to be the Hollywood ending where the sky opens, but minute choices. And you see the opening in the body, and you see that. And I think athletes know that. You start out and you're inflexible. Every day you work, and then you start seeing the body opening and become more flexible. And for long, you're doing things that you thought was impossible to do. You thought you had to be a great yogi or a great athlete to do it, but it's all there already. Just working every inch of the day, and it's hard work. For me, I have a PhD in economics, and the hardest thing I ever did, Anne, was when I went to yoga teacher training. It was 9 weeks, 2 classes a day. And, I mean, the first week, every day I was going to go home. Every day I was going to go
wow.
home. For 3 weeks,
wow.
every day I was going to go home. It was my body. It was just me and my body, right? And after 3 weeks, the body started opening up, and I still, you know, like, oh, God, this is too hard. I'm going to go home. But, man, I stuck with it, and I am so happy, you know, so happy.
I think, well, Mariama, we're all so very happy because you did stick with it. You have blessed thousands all over the world with your teaching, and I am speaking that, you know, my favorite book says speak those things as if they are. And I'm going to suggest that you will, in your lifetime, you know, affect and touch millions. We want to share with our listening audience that a number of us are just returning from the Odyssey Retreat, where you were also on a panel there and talking about what you do and who you are with a group of others. Can you share with us any thoughts from that panel?
Well, we were on a panel. We were talking about you are what you eat, dealing with lots of issues, weight, obesity, but also mainly chronic diseases that are now very commonplace, especially in modern-day America, and just looking at it. And it was, I mean, I actually learned so much from the panelists who were on the panel with me. That even people who are very much known for physicality of their program would talk about how it was
that they looked through the Bible to see what the Bible had to say about physical exercise and how they would then infuse their program with the biblical saying. And I remember one gentleman, and I'm not sure if I can name names, which is why I'm not naming names, so said, you know, well, what do we think? What does the mountains of self-help book that dots the landscape and the Bible have in common? And we were all throwing out different things, and then he said no, and he said, well, why don't you ask me that question? And we asked him, and he said they both have the word if in it. He said most motivational speakers say, if you do this, then this will occur. If you do this, then this will occur. And he said if you go to the Bible, you see the same thing.
I think that was maybe Billy.
That was Billy Blank.
Yes.
Yeah, from Bible. Yeah. And said, well, the Bible also says, if you do this, you will reap the reward, and I shall, you know, cover you with abundance and so forth. And for me, that was very revealing to see the depth of spirituality in all of the panelists as we spoke about from a different perspective, whether it's medical doctor or diet. We all talked about, yes, it's important to watch what you eat, but fundamentally, it's also about what's lacking in the spirit. It's also, there are some very, and most everybody knows how to lose weight. Why do we not lose weight? There are some tricks that you may not know that you need to also make sure you have all seven tastes. Which is what I bring to the table, that you need to make sure you have all seven tastes in a meal so you don't have craving. Most of the time in America, people eat basically three tastes, sweet, sour, salty. But there's a whole range of tastes, and the body's looking for it. It needs pungent, it needs astringent, you need a little bit of, you need to, and if you have all colors in the meal and all of the six tastes in the meal, then you won't walk away from the meal and get cravings and various kinds of things. But fundamentally, you need to feed the spirit, the body on the soul, because sometimes we're eating out of emotional need, and if we start feeding and saying, well, what am I lacking, you know? And sometimes we just need to drink water. Actually, I found with myself, sometimes I think I'm hungry, and all I need is water. The body's crying for water, and once I've drank the water, instead of usually reaching for something, which is my habitual mode, I've been watching myself, and also to say, what am I needing now? Am I feeling lonely? You know, maybe I need to go read some scriptures. Maybe I need to do other things. So there's so many things in this complexity of the problem of food and the challenges around food that we face. And it's always easy to reach for something. And sometimes you just need to go walk. Sometimes you need to take deep breaths. Sometimes your body isn't getting enough air because we breathe so shallowly. And that's the other thing that yoga has taught me, is the importance of consciously breathing, breathing with awareness, taking in nice, deep, fresh oxygen and sending them to the vital parts of our body, thinking about the parts of the body where you send energy to, waking up in the morning, checking in your body, and then take nice, deep breaths and sending it in. So how the magnificent of who we are and all of the inherent healing powers that we have, that we have no idea most of the time, that we reach for a painkiller and we have all these addiction level because we reach for the quick external solutions as opposed to going inward and just being quiet sometimes and asking the body, what do you need? What am I not doing? And I think if we learn to just be quiet a lot and spend more time with ourselves, then we're able to do that. And from there, we start generating more and more confidence, and then we can generate and attract the wealth, everything that we need, bit by bit by bit.
Excuse me. Thank you so very much. We are speaking today with Dr. Miriam Williams, a part of our Palm Beach Life Planners Mastermind Group. And right now we're going to go to a commercial, and we will come back and pick up this conversation. Thank you, Miriam.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
And we are back with Dr. Mariama Williams, the economist. And she's also a researcher and policy analyst working with developing countries in Geneva, Switzerland, and is the director of the Institute of Law and Economics. She's from Jamaica.
A director. We have many directors. I'm one of the many directors.
Thank you, Dr.
Thank you.
She is a director, and she's also from Jamaica. Dr. Williams is also the author of Trading Stories, Experiences with Gender and Trade, edited with Marilyn Carr. And she's currently working on gender issues and the empowerment of women. Dr. Williams, affectionately called by many of us, Mariama. Now, Mariama, we were talking about Chapter 2 in Thinking Grow Rich for those listeners who are just calling in. And the chapter is about faith. And one of the comments that Napoleon Hill makes in his book is actually he describes a self-confidence formula. Now, for you, Mariama, and for many of those who mastermind as a part of the International Mastermind Association, we also have a self-confidence formula, which is also called an affirmation for us. Mariama, do you have an affirmation that you aspire consciously to work on or work toward on a daily basis?
Yeah, well, I have many different ones, and I'm not always good at doing them daily, I must say. But I do try to do them as much as I can. I try to. But my first, I'm not sure if it's an affirmation, but basically I think the rule of thumb that I've kind of gravitated to the last 10 years, and I've been more and more putting it into practice, is I always at night before I go to bed do what I call gratitude and forgiveness. So I have a little book, and I start the first part of the book writing all the things I'm grateful for that happened that day. It may be just that, you know, somebody smiled at me, or I'm grateful that I stick to my diet, or went to yoga and I had a good class. And then at the back, working forward, I write all the things that I forgive, and including what I forgive myself for, because sometimes we're hardest on ourselves. Forgive myself for negative thought, for maybe being too judgmental about a colleague or speaking offhand about something. And also, you know, digging deeper and deeper and forgiving. I forgive this, I forgive myself, I forgive this person because they said this thing and it hurt me and so forth. So those are my grounding. I believe that gratitude, you know, appreciating what you have and accepting where you are, even if you think you might be somewhere different, that's fine, but appreciate where you are and then look forward to the future. And forgiveness. And the reason why I like to do it at night is that when I go to bed, it cleanses me of whatever. So I don't, you know, carry, because I tend to be like a dog with a bone, will chew on things and chew on things. And that has been my way of kind of quiet that down. So I'm going to bed, I'm cleaning myself, and I'm very grateful. And then I also, before I sleep, and I don't get to do it every time, I try to do it as much as possible, I use a technique that I was taught by Deepak Chopra, who certified me to be a meditation instructor, and Deepak Chopra is also his institute in the Chopra University, that which I'm affiliated with, where I'm the Vedic master. Being a Vedic master, that means that I've been certified to teach three courses of Deepak: primordial sound meditation, perfect health with Ayurveda, and I'm also certified to teach what's called Seven Spiritual Laws of Yoga, which is a Deepak Chopra or yoga program based on his book, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. And so one of the things that we learned was a process called recapitulation, which is that before you go to bed, before you fall asleep at night, you recapitulate your day, starting backwards, right? And just kind of, not a long thing, it's just very quickly, just like when they reverse a film and a movie, it quickly just goes through. And what it does, it allows you to kind of reset, you know, and see what happened, and then you reset your day, and then in the morning when I get up, I do my gratitude, of course, open my eyes, I thank the Lord, blah, blah, blah. I do a meditation. And then I do another process that I learned from another, I'm a seminar person, another seminar I went to, which is by Abraham Hicks, and which is called Segment Intending, which is where this where Nathaniel Ill and my mastermind come in. Segment Intending is that you know you're going out to the day, but you know you have something to accomplish. Maybe it's a big task, you have an interview, or you have a big piece of work to do. You start seeing yourself doing it and accomplishing it. If you're going to an interview, you start seeing yourself at the interview, how you enter, what you do, Napoleon Hill. You start seeing yourself, how you enter, what you're going to do, and you take it in segments, and you intend each of the segments. You intend your arrival, you see yourself arriving, you see yourself riding through traffic safely and arriving, you see yourself sitting in the waiting room or sitting at your office or in a meeting, you see yourself going through, and you see everything before you get there. And when you get there now, it may be the same or different, but you have prepared your way. And I've actually liked that segment intended, and I use it a lot. And that's part of the process, I think, that I know that Napoleon Hill speaks about when he says, you know, auto-suggestion. You can prepare your way. When you know your goal, and it also says, what thou seest, thou believest. So if you see yourself ahead of time going in, and I listened to Dennis Gimbrough, the man that wrote the black Think and Go version of Think, and he also talks about that, that you must have faith to step out there on faith. So, and going to the extra mile is trying to see what you're seeing, what you want to accomplish. You envision it, and then it's like you feel what it's like. So then you're able to really ground that faith and put that feeling. If you cannot put the feeling in your goal, a feeling of the wealth and richness and the tremendous energy, your personal vibration into it, then it becomes a meaningless. And with affirmation, that's the kind of thing. So you take your affirmation, and you actually put it in these segments, and then you envision yourself accomplishing it. You feel what you feel when you have accomplished it. So you're already preparing the way, and it becomes very real for you. The body feels it, and what the body feels, the mind feels, and vice versa. So it becomes very real. Sometimes it can, you know, sometimes affirmation can become very automatic. Mm? And then people say, yeah, well, I've been doing affirmations, but nothing happens. Well, exactly. Of course nothing happens. Nothing happens because you're just repeating something, but you're not infusing it with your spirit, with your intention, with, you know, with how it feels when you've accomplished it. And you may not have ever been a millionaire, but certainly you know what you can see what around you, what you would feel like, what you would feel, and it may be different when you arrive, but what you would feel like, what are the things that you'd like to have around you, how you deal with your family, how you, what you deal with. So I think those are all of the things that you have to infuse the affirmations with, that kind of energy and that kind of vibration. Thoughts are vibration. You bring them in, you color them, and then the affirmation becomes powerful. But I don't think if you just simply become mechanical about it, you will have people say, well, I've been doing affirmations and nothing has happened. Nothing has happened because you haven't really not been doing much other than repetitive.
Exactly. And what you're doing is you're helping us to understand how do you go from the self-confidence formula and spirit of faith into bringing it into reality, whether you call it a vision, a mission statement, or affirmation, or a formula. How do you go, what you're describing, and thank you so much for that, is how do we go from that written, whether it's written in your heart or written on the page, to actually visualizing it and actually manifesting it and bringing it into our lives. Right now we're going to go to a commercial, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to open the line for questions. We have a number of people have called in, and they're so excited with what they're hearing from Mariama, and they have questions. So if you press 1 on your phone, it will let us know you have a question, and we will take your question. So right now we're going to go to another commercial break because we want to make sure everybody understands that we are the International Mastermind Association, and we are many different mastermind groups. And so with that, we'll go to a commercial. Thank you.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com. Or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version, restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-302002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-302002.
Thank you. And we are back, and we're talking today with Dr. Mariama Williams, the economist and yoga expert. And our caller, last four digits, is 1964. And that number belongs to Stephanie Ebanks. Good morning, Stephanie.
Hi, good morning, Anne. Good morning, Dr. Williams. Thank you so much for being on the air.
So
we appreciate all the information we're getting. All right, Mariama. We're discussing faith in Napoleon Hill's book, and I just wanted to ask, what does faith as described by Napoleon Hill mean to you, and how is this manifested in your life?
Okay. Thank you. As I said earlier, I think for me, faith is a conviction in something, and a determination to accomplish your goal. It also sometimes require you to be resolute, to be what we would say in the primordial sound meditation tradition, to be single-pointed. Do you have a single-pointed intention that you want to carry through? But you must believe that you are able to do it, and not simply that you're able to do it because you're this great, wonderful being, but because we are here and you are created by a creator who has your well-being at heart and who has set in place surrounding you with abundance of everything, and who has given you innate talents and tendencies that are there for you. And so once you believe that there is, you're here, and you're here for a purpose, and you're here for a reason, and you come with exquisite talents and skills, sometimes that no one else has, or you do it in quite a different way, a slightly different way from other persons, and your job is really to find those, and that it exists, and it's there already. So you just now need to clean. It's like you come into a house, and it's been left unused, and the glasses are dirty. You just need to get the hose and all the various things and start to clean it, and little by little that thing will begin to reveal itself. And that's what sometimes we are, unpolished pearls. And that faith that, yes, there is something here for me, and yes, I can achieve what I want. I need to put into practice. I need to believe. I need to exercise my facilities. Whether if I want to be physically fit, I want to be a runner, I have to go run. So if I want to achieve, then I need to know what it is that I want to achieve and what does it take to be able to achieve. So I look around me, see role models who are good, and figure out if I have a chance to speak with them or if I can read books and see. And then I begin to put those things in practice. And I know that as long as I do that, I cannot fail, right? You cannot fail, right? You will fall down. You pick yourself up. It's like a baby. A baby has the inherent potential to walk, to leap, to jump. But when they're tumbling around, they just pick themselves up, and they roll, and they fall, and they may cry, and they pick themselves up. But that innate potentiality to walk, to run, to jump is there, and it's assured for them. And I think once you have that sense of assuredness in yourself, that, yes, I am a child of God. Yes, I come. I have a purpose here. And you can ask yourself every morning or every night that you get up, you get into silence, you say your prayers, you ask yourself, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Why am I here? Why am I here? What is my purpose? What is my purpose? What is my purpose? What do I want? So you're sharpening your questioning of yourself. What do I want? What do I want? And how can I serve? Because ultimately it's about service. How can I serve? How can I better use my talents and skill to better serve creation, serve my family, serve my community? And I guarantee you, if you do that every day, you know, slowly but surely, things will come. Things will come. I find things come to me through books. You attract various things. People come to you, things that we say are coincidences.
we say they're not coincidence, they're synchrodestiny. The universe is putting a person in your pathway who will help you provide a part of that puzzle. In my case, books fall on me, literally fall on me. I will be sitting somewhere and a book will, you know, once I, how I got to the Deepak Chopra, actually, incidentally, my sister Stephanie used to live in Hawaii, and I got to visit, and I'd been there for 3 weeks, and I was actually doing a yoga program also, a yoga meditation program. And I went to Borders Bookstore. That was one of the first bookstores where you could actually sit and read before it came to the mainland. You could sit there for hours and read. And I went in the bookstore, and I got a whole stack of books, and I was reading. And just about the time when it was time for me to go, this book fell off the shelf, and it dropped, boom, 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 right in my lap. And I got up and I looked, and it says Quantum Healing by Deepak Chopra. I never heard anything about this guy. And I started reading the book, and I just felt so taken with reading the book that my sister came to get me, and I'm still reading the book, and she's leading me through the store because I'm going, she has sent me to the airport, and I get to the cash register, and the woman scanned the book, the barcode. My sister paid for the book. She put me, I got in the car, I'm reading the book. I read that book from Hawaii to New York, and I finished the book in New York. I was in New York then teaching, and I got off the at the end of the book, it said, you know, I said, I got to do this. How do I do this? And it said, you should go to meditate. And I said, oh. And it said, and I got off, and I, when I got off, I looked, and I went home. I dialed the Yellow Pages, and I found that there was a meditation center that he had referred to down the road from me. I was teaching at a Fashion Institute of Technology, 27th Street, and 23rd Street was this place. And I went there, and I said, oh, I need to learn how to meditate. And I started that, and that began a whole journey for me about 20 years ago. And that has systematically happened to me, that books come to me. People will lend me book. Once I was home and I was going through a very difficult time, the doorbell rang, and a friend of mine arrived, and she had a couple of tapes and a book. She said, somebody, you know, I was looking at these this morning, and I decided in my spirit to bring them to you. And I open it, and the first page helped. And so books, I now know that that's where I get messages from. And sometimes friends and other people show up and various things. But you start seeing these things. They come, they happen in your life. Like the way I met Anne McNeil. My sister and I went to a function, and I decided I wanted to do build community here. And there was Anne. And Anne introduced us to Mastermind. And I've been in a Mastermind ever since. Again, bringing me to another level of awareness, another level of connectivity. And so I start recognizing these signs. So I know with every fiber, just the way I get up in the morning and I breathe and I wash my, I brush my teeth, I know that whatever I want, I can achieve it. Now, sometimes I may make a decision that it's too hard to do that or it's too hard to do that. And, you know, we have all kinds of things that get in our way. But fundamentally, we know these things. Yes.
Wow. I am. This is Anne McNeil, Mariama. And Stephanie, thank you so very much for that question. I'm just sitting here actually taking notes and posting as fast as I can type what you are saying. This is so powerful. I just want to remind our listening audience that if you have a question, please just press 1 on your phone and you will be in queue for a response from Mariama. So I hope that that answered your question, Stephanie. Yes. Thank you so very much.
Yes, it did, ma'am. Thank you so much, and thanks, Stephanie.
All right.
Thanks, Mariama, for your question. And
yes, thank you. We do have another caller. The last four numbers on your phone is 1328, and that number belongs to Cynthia. So good morning, Cynthia. How are you this morning? And what is your question, please?
Good morning. Good morning, lady. I am just so inspired and excited hearing Mariama on the line as our guest. Welcome, Mariama. I'm so happy.
Hey, Cynthia.
To I didn't really have a question. It was more of letting Mariama know that she exhibits and is a demonstration for us to all to know about success, because since I've met Mariama, I met Mariama doing the mastermind as well, and some of the things that you taught me in yoga. I don't know if it's yoga, but just stretching each morning, that I still use those techniques that you gave me, and I just appreciate you so much. And I'm just so happy to hear you on the line, and I hope to hear from you more. I just,
yes.
I'm just sitting here in my car. I can't even get out of my car, just listening to you and wanting to hear more and get the techniques of knowing your success. Because we all know that we're children of God. And, you know, the things that you're speaking of, me personally, I know every day that I'm a child of God. It's just having the faith and going about following through on the things that we say we want, and knowing if we decide on that and wanting something else, that's not necessarily a failure. It's just something that you tried, and you can try something else. So I guess if I had a question, that would be a question to you to say, when you decide to take on something that you want, you desire, how do you know if that's actually what your purpose that God wants you to do?
Usually my ego, you know, wrestles with that a little bit, and so sometimes I have to go to meditation. And I was taught many years ago by a very wise woman that I met, who said to me, when I asked that thing, she says, first of all, if always ask yourself, is this going to help others? Will it help others? You know? And always ask yourself very quietly, ask your heart, because we think the heart is touchy-feely, but in fact, science is showing that the heart actually has its own intelligence, and the heart can rival the brain, right?
Mm.
Because the heart has millennium of things stored in it. It's not just touchy-feeling. The heart knows. And you ask yourself, is this good for me? Is this really what I want? And you focus on your heart. You know, and you listen as quietly as you can. And I always tell people, do a couple of breathing exercises before you do anything, because breathing settles. Sometimes we breathe so shallow that all of the anxiety, all of that stuff is there, and the mind gets so overshadowed, our essential self gets so overshadowed by all the chattering. We have about 80,000 thoughts a day, and they're not all creative, unfortunately. You know, but you need to settle them. And so it's not, you just take a nice deep breath, inhale, exhale, settle it down, quiet down, and just listen. When you ask yourself, which is really like you're asking spirit, and spirit is connected to what? The source, right? Your spirit is connected to the other spirit, the eternal spirit out there. Because that your spirit has always been here. Your consciousness changed. When you're a baby, it was one kind of consciousness. When you're a teenager, it's one kind of consciousness. But your eternal self, the self that you were came with, is always there, even when you die. You know, spirit
right.
never dies, right? So it's there, and it's a wealth of accumulated wisdom. It's like when you plug in consciously, it's like when you plug a lamp in. The electricity is always there, right? But you plug that, and the lamp is sitting there, and there's nothing going on. You plug it in, and you connect it to its source, and it burns as bright as ever. It lights up a room. And that's what we need to think of ourselves, that we need to plug in, you know. Sometimes the battery gets weak. Sometimes we need to find the tune on the dial, because we've been listening to so many different things that it's faint, and there's all these things going on when you turn a radio on. But when you tune it exactly to where that station signal is, it's perfect, right? And that's always been there, right? You know, the music has always been playing, but you were not listening. Right, and so we need to very find the ways, and it's maybe different for different people, for cleaning ourselves. A Sufi leader once, I was at a meeting, and he said, it's like sometimes when we come through very pure, right? We do all come through, but after years of conditioning, whether we're in a good situation with our family or schooling, it's like you get wrapped around by the saran wrap, right? So if you have one thing of saran wrap around you, you could easily cut out of it. But imagine if you have 100 things of saran wrap binding you. There's no way you could cut out of it by yourself. You need help. And that's where you need help. You need help, and that's where mastermind group is a source of help to help to cut from the outside. You're cutting from the inside. They're cutting from the outside. Your pastor will help you, but you need help. If you know, sometimes you get so stuck, right? And so that saran wrap analogy has stayed with me forever, and I always try to remember that. That and cleaning the glass. Occasionally the glass gets, you know, because we're only human beings, and we're not perfection in the sense that if we were perfect like God, we wouldn't have, but we're here to have these experiences. And it's the experiences through which we learn to trust, love, and honor each other and learn to see all of the beauty. And even yoga, we always say, it's a yoga practice, not a yoga perfect. So you're coming one day and you're really flying and you're balanced and you're doing everything good. The next day you come in and you can't do that posture. You're all over the classroom with you're teaching your students. Your ego gets out and goes, oh, my God, my students are looking at me and I can't stay in this posture. You get humbled by that. And you come back and you just keep coming in and you till you're settled in because something is going off that's throwing you off. So in our life, we have those kinds of moments, and that's why life is always growing. And even when you're a supreme athlete, they train every day when they have event, no matter how many gold medals they've run, because the body goes back to some kind of default. For them, it's a higher level of default, huh? And for us, for me, it's like zero level of default in terms of physical activity. So you have to keep being very rigorous about it, and that's why masterminding is very important, because it's your mastermind partners that helps to sharpen you and helps to keep you rigorous and helps to prevent that buildup of that kind of saran wrap around you, you know, and we keep coming back to each other for that, and that's how I see it, you know.
Wow. Thank you so much.
That saran wrap analogy is very good. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so very much for the question, Cynthia. I was just getting ready to repeat that also. And yoga practice, not yoga perfect. How awesome is that?
Yeah, so that's right, what my kids always say. Yeah.
Yes, we're going to go to another commercial, and then we're going to prepare to wrap up. This has been so invigorating and so exciting this morning, having one of our own, Dr. Mariama Williams, the economist and yoga expert. So we're going to go to a commercial, and we will be right back. Thank you.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Thank you, and we are back. Today we are talking and sharing and really being uplifted by Dr. Mariama Williams, and she is sharing from the mastermind concept of Thinking Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. We are discussing Chapter 2, a chapter on faith. And Mariama, as we prepare to wrap up, do you have any comments or thoughts that you would like to share with our listening audience, or words of wisdom?
Yeah, well, I think just like in terms of recapping, I'd like to say that the four things, or maybe five things, that I think are really important. It's something I'm practicing, because life also is not perfection in the sense you're practicing. One day you get up, things come at you, and again, part of that is testing. Part of that is making you stronger. Again, to have a gratitude and forgiveness practice, I think is very essential. I mean, if you think you don't have anything to forgive, you'll be surprised how many, once I start writing, what comes up, you know. And just doing that, to use your imagination, you know. Einstein was very good at imagining and being creative. He was a scientist, but he actually believed a lot in meditation. And in fact, he's known to have said that he came up with this famous formula by, of course, doing all the work, but then it came to him through meditation and dreaming.
So those are very powerful things to do, to use your imagination to see what you would like to see and to have those, in, break them into segments that you can follow through as much as you'd like. And to always start with the grounding that you are here for a purpose, and ask yourself, if thoughts come to you about what you'd like to do, you ask, is this my talent? Is this my skill? How will that contribute to myself, to my family, to my community? How will I make a difference? And then to ultimately act, you know? So be definitive, believe, and act. And we must have these goals, make sure they're conceivable, they're believable to you, because if you don't believe them, then nothing will happen. You have to believe them. They have to be measurable. And most of all, for myself, it's okay to take risk, right? And I was listening to Dennis Gimbrough this morning, and he said, sometimes it is risky not to take risk. And that was a new one for me. Sometimes it's, because we always think risky is really about taking a risk. He says, sometimes it is risky not to take risk. He says, life is one big risk. One, you must have faith, and then you step out there on faith, and you do the extra mile. And you do that, you know, if you're not sure what's going on, you ask yourself, what do I like to do? And here I'm really talking to the young people who may still not know what they like to do. Well, he said he has four questions of excellence, you know. You ask yourself, what do I like to do? And you ask yourself, what would I do for free? Because you want to make your work your play. And he said, don't get involved if you're not good at something and you're not going to love practicing, because it's the practice that makes the perfect and your aim. And then you want to, and if you're not sure, you ask your ask people around you, how do you see you? How do they see you? And ultimately you declare what you are. But I think the principles of fate that's in Napoleon Hill's book and in many other books is that, you know, you have to have that sense of destiny, that big dream, that thing that really brings you outside yourself. And you have to be inner-directed, because people will tell you all kinds of things. Some will, you know, downgrade your dream, but you have to be inner-directed. And you have to read. And that's one thing that Anne McNeil has been very good at saying, that and constantly you must read. You have to realize and make yourself a lifelong reader, and focus on reading the things that push you, that explore the world for you, that helps you to see with the mind's eye always, and ultimately you have to be prepared to go it alone, right? And you must seek to be excellent. I was sharing with my friends, including Anne and others at the Odyssey things, that one of the things that I have found myself is I used to be on the leading edge of my profession, you know, going off and seeing things. I used to get more insightful ideas, leading edge creative ideas, and I would go off and do it without thinking. And, you know, people say, well, you know, people aren't going to take you seriously as an economist if you're doing that. And I would just go ahead and do it. But for some reason, the last 3 years or so, I found myself dropping into the average and just not, and the idea, the creative leading edge ideas aren't coming as much as they used to, because I don't think, and then I realized it's not that they're not coming, it's that I have not been listening, because I've gotten to a point where I don't want to step out. And I've just gotten back into the average. And I was listening to, and he said, don't be average. Never be average. You always go for personal excellence. And, you know, even if you think you're going to fail, you will fail, or you will seem to fail, but you keep push. And so redouble your effort and rally whatever you can, and just keep going and keep asking yourself, how can I serve? How can I serve? How can I serve? And then ultimately you have to have the courage to chase your dream. But take it one bit of a time. And if I were to wrap up, I'd say I have a little thing that I've been using for a while now. It says, I am the creator of my experience. I attract what comes to me. I am continually in a state of becoming, of growth. I am the ever alert guardian of my inner space. And that one I adapted from Eckhart Tolle, because I like that, because there's so much around us. And you have to be the ever-alert guardian of your inner space, because things just seep in. And after a while, if you're not vigilant because you're not in your mastermind group, or, you know, have a group that is paying attention to what's going on, whatever, these things slip in, and before long you find yourself operating at a level of performance that's not where you used to be. And so it's very important, I think, this having faith and the people around you having faith in you, but not just having faith in you where you are, having faith to push you where they see you want to go, because you've expressed at some point in time, you've expressed a desire, and somehow you may have pushed back from it, and they will push you because they have that faith, and they're holding that faith. It's like, you know, having the finishing line, and they're at that finishing line waving you on and calling and cheering for you. And I think that's the combination of you having that personal faith and having a group that have that faith in you and constantly pushes you to be excellent, and you and helping you to have the courage to chase your dream.
Wow, Mariama, I cannot write or type or post fast enough. You have been a bundle of gems this morning, and you are reminding me, as we prepare to wrap up, something that Mr. Brown said as we were preparing to close the program yesterday at Odyssey. He talked about an example, a friend of his, a comment that he made, and he said, you know, in football, they're always huddling. He said, but you've got to be willing to break the huddle and work the plan. And so when you talk about your personal dreams and goals and the reinventing and reimagining your own self through faith and by faith of what's possible for you, you've got to break the huddle. And we've all got to break the huddle after we finish sitting down, talking and planning and by faith this and by faith that and work by faith and all these things. We've got to break the huddle and then work the plan. So we want to thank you so very much for blessing us this morning and really, really, really taking the words of wisdom that you've shared and actually beginning to act on those. So before we close, can you share with us one accountability goal? You know, we talked about this yesterday. But one accountability goal, so you know where I'm going, you're going to break the huddle right here on the air with everybody listening. So the world will become your accountability partner. But will you share with us one accountability goal and give us a date by which you plan to achieve it and allow us...
I think my goal got charted for me. As you were mentioning earlier, I was at the Odyssey, which is a really wonderful, nurturing, growing space for women of color who are involved in business and other aspects of life, and just really profoundly life-altering every time I go. And I did a yoga class, and at the end of my second yoga class, I had made all beginners. And they said, well, do you have a video so we could go back and keep practicing what you were teaching us? And I said, no, it's like, you've got to have a video. And so that is a stretch for me, real, real stretch. So that's my accountability I need to develop. I will have a video. I'd say by the end of the summer, which for me is the 30th of September would be my penultimate deadline for this. And this is a real stretch. I've looked at my schedule, and I'm like, yeah. I have no idea how, but that has never stopped anything before. So I just keep imagining and intending it and see how and how it will happen. I'll get to do it in Geneva. I have to come home to do it.
Mariama, we have 1 minute left. You know the way will present itself, so you're not going to get into the details. Don't worry about that. Just do it.
I know.
Can you give us a way to reach you for our listening audience so they know how to reach the expert economist in yoga?
Oh, I guess Skype. Mariama.Williams is my Skype name.
Okay,
and if they want to email me, it's Mariama, M-A-R-I-A-M-A is my first name, not N. It's Mariama, M-A-R-I-A-M-A. Last name is Williams,
So my Skype is mariama.williams, and my email is mariamaw@hotmail.com.
All right. Thank you so very much. We're going to close with a closing commercial. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.